Hello, everybody. This is Rick, and you're listening to the AR Q&A call. It is the 15th of July, 2013, the day after EMS, and so if anybody's on here from the EMS weekend, thank you so much for joining us this past week. It was a blessing. So we have two questions today, and let's get on to our questions. So first, my husband and I are 1 year out from D-Day, and we have done EMS weekend and Hope for Healing and Harboring Hope. My question really pertains to my husband and his ongoing recovery. During one of our discussions, he mentioned he felt he was at somewhat of a crossroads. For, at the time, 10 years of marriage, he lived a life of deceit for 8 of those years, multiple affair partners, and now says that the old person is dead. I'm really proud of him for the strides he's made in the last year. He's learned a lot about himself and is doing well in his recovery. However, how does he move forward or learn to move forward to a life that is he's never known or lived? Everything is he was is gone, and he seems to have lost his identity, if that makes sense. Do you have any recommendations? Is there anything I can do to help him? I think a lot of times people, when they really make a radical life change, come to this place. To me, part of it's about what does he want to be when he grows up? And I know that I certainly went through a huge identity change. I mean, I even changed careers at that point. I don't know that there's a right answer to this, but I do know that beginning to give to other people, getting involved in other people's lives, has been one of the first things that people have done to remake themselves. Erickson's work shows that that is a huge part to recovery and moving forward. So whether he works with people maybe even Hope for Healing, or whether he works at his church helping other men, if he works in 12-step work, all of those things would be one thing that can help him with his identity and begin to give him meaning, because he wants to find a life of meaning and purpose. Well, part of that is going to come from investing in things that he previously has not invested in, even if that's his own kids. I don't know how long, I don't think in this question, well, I guess y'all have been married about 10 years. So wherever he can begin to give and make a difference in the lives of others would be a good place. There's always some good reading that I think he could do that would be things such as Wild at Heart, if he hasn't read that. Anything, I think, by John Eldridge would maybe give him some ideas. Halftime is another book that might give him some ideas of, you know, how does he find a life of meaning and purpose? And, you know, the other thing is just what's his ongoing recovery plan going to be? And there's many things the two of you can do, I hope, to rebuild your relationship and begin to have a significant time together. So with that, maybe that'll give you a few ideas. The other thing, you know, you're asking, I guess, specifically what can you do to help him? You know, you might just ask him about vision and what does he see for the future for the two of you, and what would he like to accomplish? And the two of you sit down and almost have a strategic planning meeting. That sort of activity sometimes may also get help him begin to find a direction he wants to go. It's another simple exercise is the two of you sit down and write, if you only had 3 years to live, what would you want to accomplish in that 3 years? If a doctor told you you're going to be dead in 3 years, you're going to have fairly good health, what do you want to accomplish in 3 years? Then I would sit there and say, okay, write that down. And then I would actually seal that letter and put it in a tickler file or something so you can read it again in 3 years. But then sometimes even something like that will give you a sense of direction to move on. So I hope that can help. Next question. My husband and I have been in AR since the beginning of the year. The first D-Day was March 6, 2012, and although they did not continue to see each other, he and his affair partner, since we live 8 hours apart, they did continue to have an emotional affair via his workplace phone and pictures on his work computer until April 13th of this year, my second and hopefully last D-Day. Since that day, the AP has sent Me Too messages on Facebook asking to have one final private conversation with my husband, to which I did not reply or respond to. Then a couple of weeks later, she emailed my husband asking if he was okay to do, and that if that was okay, and that she couldn't move on without knowing he was okay. He sent her and me a response telling her he had resigned his job, confessed it all to me, our children, my parents, and even our church. This was his conviction. I did not ask him to do this. And that he was sorry for his part in the affair and truly loved me and wanted to do whatever it took to make our marriage work. She replied the next day with a rather manipulative email about how she could not be okay, that she did not think counseling would ever work for her, how she had lost him as her best friend, and so forth. I really thought she would get the message, but no. Last week, she sent him a certified package to his part-time job, to which he promptly handed it to me to open. She had sent him back a picture and a copy she had made of it, something he had given her in 1985, and a note saying she thought he wanted it back, would want it back. Now, I have not responded to her at all, but it is getting harder and harder not to go off on her and get really angry. Every time she contacts us in whatever way she chooses that month, it's like pulling a scab off a wound. I find that I'm getting more and more pissed off every time and find myself becoming obsessed about her. This, of course, is not good for our marriage and recovery, and I do not talk negatively about her to my husband, so I don't delay his recovery, but it is certainly making it harder for me to forgive her and heal. I need to know how to handle this. It is almost as if she wants to make sure he remembers her. We hear from her once a month, usually about the time I've settled down from her previous contact. But dang it, even the nicest people have their limits. Help. So it is possible to have an attorney contact her and tell her that this is completely inappropriate and you want no more contact. The second thing is, I would, a game that you and your husband, and this is a simple tool, y'all both agree to start putting dates on the calendar when you think she'll contact you, and then place bets between the two of you so that you get a reward or he gets a reward, whichever one of you comes closest to guessing when the next contact is. The best response to her other than the attorney is no response whatsoever, because as long as you're not responding to her, eventually she'll quit getting any sort of reinforcement and will stop all of this nonsense. I am so sorry, however, you're going through this. And over time, it will begin to subside. And I would just expect, though, that it'll take a while. So short of the attorney, try the thing where you place bets as to when the next contacts will be. And so that you and your husband, my wife and I have done this before with somebody that was irritating us and contacting us, and it worked great. I got some great meals at some good restaurants when I was closer, and whenever she was closest to the date that we had bet on, she got something good. So let's give that a shot. Maybe it'll help you turn it into a game, and it's something you and your husband can do together. I just, I do wish you well in all of that. And so that's our final call for the day. I want to thank everybody for joining us here at Affair Recovery, and we look forward to talking to you next week to healing.